Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. ART has been recording some lost shows from The Adventures of Sam Spade, starring our own Ivan Curry as Sam. Here's Sam in The Corporation Murders.
The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective, brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic, the non-alcoholic hair tonic that contains lanolin. Wild Root Cream Oil, again and again, the choice of men, and women and children, too.
Sam Spade, Detective Agency.
This is convict number 137596.
Sam, I was just packing a lunch to bring you.
Forget it, sweetheart.
Sam, you must eat and keep up your strength. I know that prison food can't be very wholesome. Mother fixed some chicken specially for you. You know, it's the kind she calls chicken a la Sam Spade because it has capers in the dressing.
Now save some for me. The governor just gave me a last-minute reprieve. I'll be right down to dictate my report.
Oh, Sam, you're so pale. Did they have you in solitary?
Get your book, quick. Come into my office.
Yes. Sam!
Shake it, Effie. The underworld is seething. Crime is rife. People have been...
Here I am. Ready, Sam?
Did that letter come from the commissioner's office?
Yes, Sam.
Okay, then we'll give him his. Subject, the corporation murders. Dear Mr. Commissioner, the aforementioned capers started when I was retained by Mrs. Anita Desmond to keep a plant on her restless husband, Harold Desmond, president of the stock brokerage firm of Desmond, Sterling, Pine, and Phelps. It was a dull, routine gumshoe job of a type I don't ordinarily handle, but it came at a time when my landlord, too, was beginning to show signs of restlessness. After a week of tailing said Desmond, I had Mrs. Desmond come to my office, and I told her I was through.
I don't understand, Mr. Spade.
I can't make it any plainer. There's nothing more I can do. I've given you my dope. Quote, on dates you find specified in report, your husband visited a woman named Leela Cornell at her home in Oakland. Unquote. You probably knew all that before you hired me.
No, Mr. Spade. This is a great shock to me. I'm begging you, Mr. Spade, to see me through this thing.
If by that you mean you want me to testify to this in court, Mrs. Desmond, no dice. I don't do that kind of work. Besides, when a husband makes up his mind to be friendly with another woman, what the wife needs is not a private eye, but a mother to go home to.
I don't deserve this kind of treatment from him. He should be killed for it.
That's always a possibility. There are plenty of gunsels around who do the job for a price. Want the address of one?
Mr. Spade, you can't be serious.
I wasn't, but were you?
Sam.
Bye-bye, Mrs. Desmond.
Sam? No, please, Mrs. Desmond, don't go out that way. Use the private door, please.
Well, why should she? What's the matter with the...
Mr. Spade, you have apparently forgotten that the King of Bohemia is here incognito.
Oh, yeah, I apparently did.
Oh, Sam, it's her husband. He's...
What? The guy I've been tailing?
Ah, Mr. Spade, I'm Harold Desmond.
Yeah, my secretary told me. What's your problem, Mr. Desmond?
Well, perhaps you'll think it's all in my imagination, Mr. Spade, but I have a feeling, I've had a feeling for the past 2 weeks that I'm being followed.
Do you have any idea who it could be?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Oh, well, that's good. I mean...
I'm willing to pay a most generous fee, Mr. Spade, if you could find out who this man is that has been dogging my footsteps.
Well, that might be difficult. He's apparently a very clever man. You really haven't any idea who it might be?
No, I haven't. Something happened to me about 3 months ago. You may have read about it in the papers. I was held up and robbed by a pair of hoodlums. Although I made no move to resist them, they assaulted me brutally, fractured my skull.
And you figured they had something else on their mind besides robbery?
Yes. The conviction has grown upon me that someone wants to take my life. I have no enemies that I know of, no reason why anyone should want to take my life.
Wait a minute, Mr. Desmond. Don't go jumping to conclusions. The fact is, the guy that's been following you is me.
You must be joking, Mr. Spade.
How'd you happen to come to me?
Why, I happened to run across a card of yours. I found it in my car, as a matter of fact.
Well, your wife probably dropped it there.
My wife?
Yeah, she hired me to keep a plant on you. But you can stop worrying. I quit the job this morning.
Oh?
I don't think you'll be bothered anymore by people following you.
I must say, it's very decent of you to tell me this.
Not at all. Anytime you have a job where I can make a dollar honestly, I'd be glad to help you, Mr. Desmond.
Well, you've taken a great load off my mind. Goodbye, Mr. Spade.
Sam! Sam! Oh, thank... I thought he'd...
Oh!
Close the door. Call a doctor.
What happened, Sam?
He was on his way out. He opened the door. There were two mugs standing there. They let him have it. Threw the gun on top of him and scrammed.
While we were waiting, I frisked Desmond. There was nothing on him that I could use for a lead. The $1,000 in his wallet, I put it in my pocket. I had a hunch I might be needing it.
1 hour later, Mr. Commissioner, I was in your private office with Lieutenant Dundee and Anita Desmond. You were hot, and Mrs. Desmond acted like I was Hitler.
That's him. That's the man.
Now, Mrs. Desmond, you must calm yourself.
He'd been following my husband, knew he carried large amounts of cash.
One thing at a time, Mrs. Desmond.
He offered to hire a man to kill my husband only this morning, but he did it himself.
Dundee, take her outside. Get a matron to help her.
Please come with me, Mrs. Desmond. Everything will be all right.
Mr. Spade, you know the story of the two assassins is untenable.
Your boys found the gun in my office. It isn't mine.
Or anybody else's. Numbers filed off. Why couldn't it be yours?
Commissioner, I have a suggestion.
You keep out of this, Dundee. Now, Spade, this is what happened, and I'll make it stick. You called Desmond to your office, told him you had some information to sell, that his wife was having him followed by you. You were trying to blackmail him. He reached for the phone to call the police, and you tried to stop him. You scuffled, then you shot him. What do you think of that?
I can't tell you. My mother taught me to respect my elders.
Mr. Commissioner, may I make a suggestion?
What is it, Dundee?
I suggest that Mr. Desmond learn that Spade was tailing him, came to his office for a showdown. One word led to another, and Desmond pulled the gun. It's unregistered. Could be his. Spade tussled with him. The gun went off. That, Mr. Commissioner, is an open and shut case of self-defense.
I see what you mean.
What do you have to say, Sam?
I've said all I care to say. Now book me or let me go.
All right. You ask for it. First, Mr. Spade, your license as a private detective is revoked as of this minute. And make up your mind you'll never get it back. I'll see to that personally. And second, Lieutenant Dundee, take this man downstairs. Book him. First-degree murder.
I ought to tell you about here, Mr. Commissioner, that if you think you can use such high-handed methods as that on Sam Spade, well, you're perfectly right. But I didn't love you for it. I like my license, and I like my reputation. Well, I called my mouthpiece, Sid Weiss. 15 minutes later, my bail was set at $1,000. The dough in the late Harold Desmond's wallet sprung me. A little after 1 o'clock, I jumped on a ferry boat and went across to Oakland to see Leela Cornell, the Dame Desmond's wife had hired me to find out about. The other woman, as they say.
Harold? Killed? I can't believe it.
Who? Well, that's what I'm trying to find out. Police are trying to hang it on me. I'm out on bail now.
Did you see it happen?
Yeah. The job was done by a couple of cheap gunsels named Jack Corbett and Poby Larson. But that's not the point. They'd knock over anybody for the price of a couple of weeds.
Somebody hired them to kill Harold?
Yeah. Tell me, Miss Cornell, how long has Desmond been visiting you here?
What? Ever since we were divorced.
Let's get this straight. You and Desmond were married.
Well, yes, of course. Harold Jr. will be 6 years old next month.
I see. Why didn't she tell me that?
Anita? Oh, she never knew about it. Her religion wouldn't allow her to marry a divorced man.
And you kept quiet for the money that was in it.
Well, that's a crude way of putting it. Harold and I haven't lived together for some time. He was dead broke when he met her. She had a good deal of money and set him up with his brokerage firm. Harold and I never quarreled.
How did you and Anita get along?
I've never met her. All I know is what Harold told me about her, that she was a very suspicious kind of woman, violent-tempered at times. But that doesn't prove anything. Who isn't? Are you going to try to prove she did it?
Sweetheart, it's this way. As long as I don't take the rap, I don't care whose nose I lay it on. Back in the city, I phoned the Desmond residence. Anita Desmond wasn't at home, but the maid told me I could find her at the offices of her husband's business firm, the brokerage house of Desmond, Sterling, Pine, and Phelps on Sansom Street, where she was attending a board of directors meeting. The outfit occupied the entire 10th floor. Telephones rang without stopping. Men were buying and selling wheat and steel and copper they couldn't possibly use. I elbowed through the crowd to a door that was marked Board of Directors, Private. I opened it and went in.
I don't care what my husband told you about those insurance policies. That money was mine. He had no right.
Mrs. Desmond, as Harold's widow, you'll participate in the profits of the corporation to the same extent he did. Since your husband chose to withdraw his securities and convert them into life insurance, we're only making a reasonable request that you allow them to remain as collateral against the loan.
I don't understand anything about financial matters. All I know is that that money was my money in the first place, and now that Harold is dead, I have a right to have it.
Perhaps Mrs. Desmond would listen to a proposition such as this. I say, Sterling, who is that chap over by the door eavesdropping?
What?
That's the man who shot Harold.
What are you doing here? Get out!
Now, cool off, Mr. Sterling. I wasn't trying to eavesdrop. I came here to see Mrs. Desmond.
You want to talk to him, Mrs. Desmond?
I never want to see him again.
All right, you outside.
I'm on my way, Shoulders. Tell Mrs. Desmond I'll wait for her downstairs in the bar. If she's smart, she'll meet me there. I was trying ginger ale and gin, which I'd always wanted to try, when she came over to me.
Mr. Spade, I'll give you 1 minute to talk, and then I'm going to call the first policeman I see.
Well, if you want to collect your late husband's insurance, we'd better take a little longer than that.
What do you know about the insurance?
Well, I figured it this way. A few months back, you found out that your husband had been turning all his assets into life insurance. Well, maybe you knew that before, but what you found out recently was that he was planning to cash them in and leave the country. Probably settle in Brazil or some nice warm place with cheap money. Anyway, he didn't plan to take you with him.
Did Harold tell you that?
He might have. The important thing is this. That money was mostly yours. That is, he came into it when he married you. There was only one way you could get that money back.
Look here, Mr. Spade. You and I are both after the same thing. Money. If you'll keep quiet until I can collect, I'll make it worth your while.
Well, after you collect isn't good enough. A widow can get too far, too fast these days on one of those clippers.
Give me until the bank opens tomorrow. I think I can raise some money on one of those policies. Would $1,000 on account make you happy for a while?
Well, it'll keep me in Benzedrine.
Then it's settled. Order a drink, will you, Sam? I have to make a phone call.
There were phone booths at both entrances. The street entrance was farther away, and that was the way she headed. I waited until she disappeared around the corner of the bar before I started after her. She edged into one of the phone booths without looking back, and I edged into the booth next to it, glued my ear to the partition, and listened.
Police headquarters. Homicide, please. I'd like to speak to Lieutenant Dundee. My name is Mrs. Harold Desmond. Hello, Lieutenant? Yes, this is Mrs. Desmond. I want you to listen closely to what I have to tell you. I may not have time to finish, so I'm going to talk fast. Samuel Spade, the man who is under indictment for the murder of my husband, broke into a business meeting at my husband's firm this afternoon. He behaved in a violent manner and was ejected from the room by Mr. Lloyd Sterling. There were 5 witnesses to this besides myself. He met me when I came out of there. He forced me to come here with him to the place where I'm calling you from now and made me promise him $1,000 before he would let me go. I want that man arrested immediately. Do you understand? I feel that my life is in danger.
It was 2 men in a black car.
They just shot her.
Somebody call a cop.
I walked past. Nobody looked at me. They were all looking at Anita Desmond's body where it had fallen headfirst out of the booth. Her eyes were wide open, and she was still looking at me in the same accusing way.
The makers of Wild Root Cream Oil are presenting the weekly Sunday adventure of Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, Sam Spade. Now, here's important news on good grooming. If you want the well-groomed look that helps you get ahead socially and on the job, listen. Recently, thousands of people from coast to coast who bought Wild Root Cream Oil for the first time were asked, how does Wild Root compare with the hair tonic you previously used? The results were amazing. Better than 4 out of 5 who replied said they preferred Wild Root Cream Oil. Remember, non-alcoholic Wild Root Cream Oil contains lanolin. It grooms the hair naturally, relieves dryness, and removes loose, ugly dandruff. So if you want your hair to be more attractive than ever before, get the generous new 25-cent size of Wild Root Cream Oil, America's leading hair tonic, on sale at all drug and toilet goods counters. It's also available in larger economy bottles and the handy new tube. By the way, smart girls use Wild Root Cream Oil, too. And mothers say it's grand for training children's hair. Get Wild Root Cream Oil, again and again, the choice of men. And women and children, too. And now, back to tonight's adventure with Sam Spade, detective.
About here, I thought I better have legal advice. I called my lawyer, Sid Weiss, and asked him, if a man is divorced from one woman and marries another, and the second wife is the beneficiary of an insurance policy, would the child of the first wife be in line for the dough in case anything happened to the second wife? He said if there were no children by the second marriage, the kid probably would get it. I hung up and went for another ferry ride back to Oakland.
Oh, Mr. Spade, come in.
Thanks.
I was just listening to the news on the radio about poor Anita.
You're a pretty good gal, Leela.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you must know the cops are after me for a murder rap, maybe 2 of them.
That's ridiculous. What possible motive could you have had?
Yeah, that's the puzzler of this whole caper. Motive. By the way, I found out a couple of things today about insurance. It's all yours now that Anita is out of the way, isn't it?
You mean you have an idea I might have wanted Anita dead? Because of Harold's money?
Well, it spells motive, and it doesn't spell it backwards.
Mr. Spade, neither Anita, nor I, nor my son stands to gain 1 penny through Harold Desmond's death. I didn't know that when I talked to you before. I did Anita a great injustice. I only found it out this morning from Harold's lawyers.
Found out what?
That Harold had been forced 3 months ago to put up all of his insurance policies as collateral to keep the firm of Desmond, Sterling, Pine, and Phelps from going on the rocks.
Oh.
Every penny reverts to the business. So you see, Mr. Spade, you'd better start looking for another motive. You can't very well indict a corporation for murder.
No, you can't. You're a good girl, Leela. Thanks. Well, I'll be going.
Oh, a car just drove up. Somebody calling for you?
Yeah, kind of looks like it. Bye, sweetheart.
We was in the neighborhood, so we thought we'd give you a lift home, Spade.
Well, that was mighty considerate of you.
Go on, get in the car and don't try any moves.
I'll take that clumsy rod out of my ribs.
You're cute, Sammy. We're going to get along fine.
Yeah, that's better. Come on.
You're right in the middle, Sammy.
Thanks. Well, this is cozy.
I never did like riding the ferry boats on a foggy night.
Let's talk, Sammy.
Oh, sure. What about?
Desmond's wife hired you to keep a plant on her husband, didn't she?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about that. Who headed in for him?
Well, the treatment you guys gave him wasn't exactly chummy.
We didn't have nothing against him. It was a job.
Who hired you?
That's what we want to know.
Yeah, we ain't collected yet.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's very good. You want me to tell you who hired you to bump off Desmond?
Explain to him, Poby.
Yeah. You see, we took the job on like a subcontract. This friend of ours was supposed to get $5,000. Keep two and pay us three.
Well, why don't you ask him who hired you?
He's dead.
Yeah, now he is. We figured he was holding out on us. Kept stalling, telling us he hadn't been paid yet.
So you knocked him off, too?
Yeah. Can you imagine? He was telling the truth the whole time. Shame.
Was nothing on him but a couple of $5 bills.
Boys, I think I know who owes you that money. I got a little something personal to settle there first. But after I'm finished, it's all yours.
You see, Jack? I told you he was the right guy.
Nah, I don't like it. If we give him the first shake, there may not be anything left for us.
You work too cheap. There was $750,000 in the caper. That ought to be plenty for the three of us.
750?
Here's what we'll do. When we get across the bay, drop me off at the Marguerite Hotel on Kearney Street. I'm picking up a guy there and taking him across town. You can keep a close plan on me if you don't trust me. Follow us where we go, but don't come on in until I'm finished with my business. If you'll play it like that, I'll let you in on the 750 G's. If you don't play it like that, I won't play, and if I don't play, you'll never collect a penny.
Okay, Sammy. We'll play it your way.
From the Marguerite House, Dick, I learned that Sterling occupied a 7-room duplex and lived there with just one servant. It was Thursday night, so he was really alone. I had to move fast to get inside before he could slam the door in my face.
It was very foolish of you to come here, Spade.
Well, it wouldn't be the first foolish thing I've done.
I can't make you out. A man who keeps asking for trouble.
Trouble? What kind of trouble?
All I have to do is pick up that phone and the police would be here before you could get out of the building.
You're going to pick up the phone, all right, Sterling. But you're not going to call the police.
Holding a gun on me doesn't give you such an advantage as you imagine it does. Any intelligent man knows that the man with the gun leaves himself no alternative but to shoot his adversary, in which case...
All right, let's try another way. Any intelligent man knows that if a desperate character lets him have it across the muzzle like this, and the adversary still doesn't do what he's told to, he's going to get it again like this.
You're crazy. What do you want?
I told you. Pick up the phone. Call your secretary.
Stop it. Stop it. I'll do as you say.
That's more like it.
What? What do you want me to say to her?
Tell her to call every member of the board of directors of Desmond, Sterling, Pine, and Phelps. An emergency meeting tonight. And lay it on heavy. They gotta be there. Matter of life and death. And don't try anything cute. I'll be listening on the extension.
Hello?
Miss Driscoll, this is Mr. Sterling. I'm sorry to disturb you at home.
That's all right, Mr. Sterling. What is it?
A serious crisis has arisen. I want you to call all the directors of the company on the telephone immediately. Tell them I'm calling a special emergency board meeting.
What if I can't reach them?
You've got to reach them. Do whatever it takes. Tell them the meeting is at 11 o'clock tonight in the boardroom. I need everyone there.
For the next couple of hours, I made myself comfortable with a bottle of Sterling scotch. Sterling didn't talk much, just sat with an ice pack on his jaw and looked grim. 10 minutes of 11, I helped him into his hat and coat. At the offices of Desmond, Sterling, Pine, and Phelps, the lights were on, and the board members were at their places around the long table in the boardroom when Sterling and I walked in.
Good evening, gentlemen.
I say, Sterling, what's up?
Gentlemen, I owe you an apology. You have been brought here under false pretenses.
I'll take over now, Sterling.
Very well, Mr. Spade.
I didn't have time to explain to Mr. Sterling why I wanted to have this talk with you guys. You all know who I am, and you all know I mixed up in this caper where your partner Desmond got knocked off. I just found out who did it, and I thought you gents might want to know about it.
Mr. Spade, that is indeed gratifying news.
Who? Who did it?
You did. And you, Mr. Pine, and you, Mr. Phelps, and you, and you, and you. A whole bunch of you.
What an extraordinary idea. Why on earth did it take 10 men to commit one murder?
Oh, not one murder, too. Desmond and his wife. Desmond, because he was worth more to the corporation dead than alive.
Now look here, Spade.
A few months back, you discovered that Desmond had been quietly taking his money out of the firm and turning it into life insurance. Am I right?
Yes, but...
Okay. So to avoid an embezzlement rap, he put those insurance policies against a loan for the corporation. The loan came due at the same time the market took its recent plunge. Am I right?
You haven't said one thing that every broker on Sansom Street doesn't already know.
Yeah, Mr. Sterling, but here's something they don't know. About a week ago, you called a board meeting in Desmond's absence and told the boys that only Desmond's death could save the corporation. They voted to save the corporation. When Anita Desmond threatened to contest the award of the insurance, the corporation decided to kill her, too. I don't know which one of you did the actual hiring of the Gunsels. Whoever did it will probably have to take the rap for all of you.
Very neat, Mr. Spade. But the man who was originally employed to eliminate poor Desmond is now dead. And even if he were not, you would have only the testimony of the self-confessed killer. And furthermore, there was never an exchange of money.
Oh, well, a reliable firm like this ought to pay its bills.
You're wasting our time and your own, Mr. Spade. Even if you were to prove all of your charges, there is absolutely nothing in corporation law that could be used against us. In fact, the law specifically provides that no individual may be held responsible for the acts of a corporation.
Can I quote you on that when I give the story to the papers?
I don't think a paper in town would print it. No editor would believe a story like that.
Maybe not, but you're taking quite a risk. Let's get off the dime, gentlemen. I don't care who takes the rap for killing Desmond and his wife. As long as it's not me. I think Mr. Sterling might be a good candidate. Suppose we take a vote on it.
There's certainly something in what he says.
As I recall, it was Sterling's idea in the first place, wasn't it?
Now, wait a minute. I have another suggestion. Spade here is already under indictment for one of the murders, and the police are hunting him for another one.
No, don't bother reaching for your gun, Spade. I have one now.
Drop the gun, mister.
Who are you?
Sammy's right, mister. A reliable firm like this, reckon should pay off its debts.
How much do you want?
$500,000. Yeah, we'll take $20,000 on account. You ought to be able to lay your hands on that much right away. Bunch of tycoons like you guys.
Watch it, Jack. He's reaching for the gun. Now come across with the dough, you guys, or the rest of you'll get it just like he did.
My dear man, you don't seem to understand. This is not a bank. It's a brokerage firm. We don't handle cash here.
Don't handle cash. $750,000 for bumping off one guy, and they say they don't handle cash.
Stop stalling.
But I tell you, we...
Don't look now, boys, but a police car just parked down the street.
We better lam it out of here, Jack.
Yeah, but before we go, we better clean up the rest of them.
No. No!
And that, Commissioner, is how the firm of Desmond, Sterling, Pine, and Phelps was finally liquidated. When the cops walked in, there was nothing left but a very dead board of directors. The Gunsels got it somewhere between the fourth and fifth floor of the building as they were scramming down the back fire escape. If the boys you sent around hadn't been so quick on the trigger, you might have got them both alive. It was just luck that one of them lived long enough to talk and clear me. So take this and press it in your memory book, Commissioner. That's the last time I'll ever let a dame talk me into tailing her husband. Unless your wife should happen to drop around, in which case, it'll give me great pleasure to find out the address of that little blonde you've been seeing over in Milpitas. Period. End of report.
Is that all, Sam?
Yeah. All right, let's see that letter from the commissioner.
I didn't open it. I thought you'd probably want to open this yourself.
Why, that pot-bellied walking exhibit of Bright's disease, he's got a nerve.
How can you tell just by shaking the envelope?
My license, it ain't here.
Let me read that letter.
Well, what does it say?
Dear Mr. Spade, your license number 137596, suspended 3 days ago, has been reapproved by the department. However, your license fees appear to be in arrears. Upon payment of the amount specified below, we will be glad to make restoration of same. Very truly yours, Hilda Podge, Secretary to the Commissioner.
Why do I stay in this business, supporting every crackpot on the city payroll?
Good night, Sam.
Good night, sweetheart.
Good night, sweetheart. All my prayers are
for... You have been listening to The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective. The Corporation Murders, starring Ivan Curry as Sam Spade, with Lurlin Lahr as Effie. Also in our cast you heard, Bob Hutchison, Susie Hutchison, Stuart Talbert, Lee Delaney, Pam Hungate, David Maddox, Aaron Hiles, Dr. Bob Perks, John Greenway, Jan Hanley, and Tom Fitzpatrick. The production was directed by Mike Wheeler. I'm Aaron Hiles, thanking you for listening and inviting you to join us again next time. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
One Night Stand presents...
A great band leader with a great band, Ray McKinley and his orchestra.
This is Ray McKinley saying, how'd you do? And all the boys in the band say, how'd it do? So get yourself settled around the radio while I tell you what's cooking on this evening show. At the upper left, we're all set to go on an uptown version of The Moon Is Low. Following which comes a tumbler full of Teddy Norman, and they say it's wonderful. And next, a piece of advice from the leader bloke on how to be happy even though you're broke. Then Chris Adams is gonna tonsilize on a tune I'm sure that most of you will recognize. But the boys in the band, without a doubt, deserve most of the credit. So from here on out, I'll go and give the drums a little wear and tear. Boys and girls, we're on the air.
Yes, it's Ray McKinley and his orchestra from the Century Room of the Hotel Commodore right at Grand Central Terminal here in New York City. And music that starts out like this. The moon is low. What's this they say about love? Your magic spell is, love is, well, they say it's wonderful. Or so says Teddy Norman. It seems. Even gotten over into the music department now. This is sort of a poorhouse special by Ray McKinley and the orchestra, without a penny in your pocket.
Without a penny in your pocket, you can have a lot of fun. Don't need a penny in your pocket if in your heart you found the one. Without a copper in the kitty, still you needn't have a care. For we're living in the sunlight, loving in the moonlight, you got more than your share. Without a penny in your pocket, you can live just like a king. Don't need a penny in your pocket if in your heart love is every day. So when you're down, you'll recover if you discover what makes the world go round. Without a penny in your pocket, forget about your pocket, you'll still be rich in love. Pocket, you can live just like a king. Don't need a penny in your pocket if in your heart love is everything. So when you're down, you'll recover when you discover what makes the world go round. Without a penny in your pocket, forget about your pocket, you'll still be rich in love.
Well, just a few seconds here, Ray, which they tell the customers from coast to coast that it's a great band leader with a great band, Ray McKinley and his orchestra, from the Century Room of the Hotel Commodore, right at Grand Central Terminal in New York City. Something of a nostalgic Nightmares Nocturne now by Chris Adams. Welcome to my dreams. A little small change set the music. Words by Ray McKinley. The song, in the land of the Buffalo Nickel.
Recently took a trip to the wild and woolly west, and in spite of all the warnings, I found myself one morning in the terrible town of Skeleton Rest. In the land of the Buffalo Nickel, a two-gun cowboy fella was sipping sarsaparilla through a straw. Yeah, that's what I saw in the land of the Buffalo Nickel. The wildest looking Mabel was wearing mink and sable, bless the soil where Pop struck oil. What kind of a west is this, says I to me? I'm 3,000 miles from Brooklyn, and this I've got to see. In the land of Buffalo Nickel, a guy what looks like trouble comes running on the double, shouting stop. Let's all have a whipped cream sundae with a cherry on the top. In the land of the Buffalo Nickel, those outlaws in the canyons read ladies' home companions while they ride. That's what I spied in the land of the Buffalo Nickel. I saw the meanest looking hombre while fighting for his laundry, said son of a gun, 'cause it wasn't done. What kind of west is this, says I to me? I came out looking for excitement, and this I've got to see. In the land of the Buffalo Nickel, I saw a tea room roundup, six maltas, and I wound up on a train. So it's back to where I came from, 'cause the sights are just the same.
Two of Teddy Norman's words of wisdom coming up now. You can have your kisses, you can have your flings, yes, you can have your fun and lots of it, along with me.
No more a dream. by day, my love seems to grow. There isn't any end to my devotion. It's deeper, dear, by far than any ocean. I find that day by day you're making all my dreams come true. So come what may, I want you to know I'm yours alone, and I'm in love to stay. As we go through the years, day by day,
I guess that's enough. We certainly hope you enjoyed our stuff. It was indeed a pleasure to play for you. Now here are a couple of the kids to say, woo-hoo-hoo.
This is Teddy Norman wishing you well.
Well, thank you, Teddy, for helping at the jail.
This is Christine Adams saying, yes, indeedy.
I guess on that point we're all agreed. And as I said before, we hope you liked our style. You did, just remember where you are on your dial. Here are the last two bars of our theme's caboose. It gives me the time to say adios.
Music by Ray McKinley came to you from the Century Room of the Commodore Hotel in New York City. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
That's all the time I've got for today. Please stop by our website, www.AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more of our podcasts. We put up a new one every month. See you next time.